This is my fifth Christmas week here at Friendship Community Church, and I have probably told you the stories about my favorite Christmas gift, my most hoped-for Christmas gift, but the story I'm going to share with you today is one worth repeating, and it comes from this question, and that is, as a kid, what was the one gift you hoped for but never received? Now, when you were a kid, if you're like me, you've made up for lost time and buying all of those things that you wanted as a child. But growing up, for me, I didn't get a lot. But I did know the art of the deal well before Donald Trump wrote his book. You see, my birthday is 3 days after Christmas. And since my parents didn't have a lot of money, my dad being a public servant and my mother being a school teacher, I knew that if I wanted something big, substantial, that I could negotiate and say, you know, you could always combine my Christmas and birthday gifts. You see, I had to make the best of the situation. And one year, I think it was when I was in sixth grade, I wanted an NFL Letterman's jacket. Do you know the ones I'm talking about? Where they're like a solid block color, and then they have, they're usually two-tone. They're a solid block color here, and then the sleeves are a different team color, and the snap buttons match the sleeves. And I wanted the jacket of my favorite team at the time, and that was the Green Bay Packers. And their two colors were green and yellow, which just so happened to be my favorite college football team's colors, the Oregon Ducks, and they were far more local to me than Green Bay, Wisconsin. Anyways, well, that Christmas, the nosy kid that I was, I checked out every present under the tree. I mean, I looked at my sister's presents, I looked at my presents, and I wanted to sense the size, the shape, and guess the contents. And sure enough, under the tree, at the very back, behind all the other presents, with presents stacked on top of it, was a big coat-sized box that didn't rattle when I moved it around. So my hopes were going to be realized, or so I thought. And in the traditions in our DeMarco household, the best gifts that we would receive, we always got last. So if you were going to get a bike, it was going to be last. And if I was going to get an NFL Letterman's jacket that year, it was going to be last. And sure enough, at the very end, with all the presents unwrapped, there was one last box behind the tree. The big coat box, sitting all lonely and yearning to be opened. And so as I feigned ignorance with the box on my lap, as I started to open it, my acting turned into authentic shock and disbelief as I pulled out the NFL Letterman's jacket of the Minnesota Vikings. That's right, it wasn't green with yellow sleeves, it was purple with yellow sleeves, the arch enemies of the Green Bay Packers, to which my mother exclaims as I'm holding it up, "Oh, Michael, I just knew you loved the color purple." And I'm thinking, "Yeah, Mom, when I was four." Yeah. So I had to go from being Bart Starr to Fran Tarkington in a heartbeat. Are you a good gifter or a bad gifter? Be honest. Do you give what the other person wants or what you want the other person to want? Or maybe you give what the other person would want if they only knew what it was. You know, all of those types of gifting, they're not always the same. And whether it's gifts at Christmas time, a promotion at work, or even just a phone call that you're waiting for from a family member or a friend, we all have hopes for the future, hopes that are oftentimes out of our control. And when our hopes are realized, like when I receive a game system, our joy becomes complete. But when the gift is something we didn't ask for, or worse, Our joy can be nowhere to be found in the wreckage of our dashed hopes and dreams. What voices we listen to and what words we hear and apply in those types of moments when we receive gifts that we didn't ask for and or we would consider them not even gifts at all, those voices that we listen to and those opinions that we have off of those voices, those not only determine our mood and outlook and our emotional health, they also determine our spiritual health as well. So, do you hear what I hear? This is my last message in this series before Christmas Eve. And for this message, I want us to take a look honestly. Take an honest look at our reactions and perspectives at the bad gifts we get, including things that we might receive and think, this isn't a gift, this is a curse. I want us to process the way we process hearing bad news and ask ourselves, do I hear hope amongst the bad news, or do I hear hopelessness? So in your Bible or your Bible app, I want you to head over to Psalm 33. The book of Psalms is in the Old Testament. It's quite a large book, a lot of psalms in there. And go to Psalm 33, and the whole psalm is on point and on topic for today's message, but I want us to pick up at verse 13. But let me pray before we hear what God has to say through this psalm. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true. Use your Holy Spirit, Father, we ask, to soften our hearts, open our ears, and help our minds comprehend what you would have us learn from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Psalm 33, starting with verse 13. The Lord watches from heaven. He sees all people. From the place where he lives, he looks carefully at all the earth's inhabitants. He is the one who forms every human heart and takes note of all their actions. No king is delivered by his vast army. A warrior is not saved by his great might. A horse disappoints those who trust in it for victory. Despite its great strength, it cannot deliver. Look, the Lord takes notice of his loyal followers, those who wait for him to demonstrate his faithfulness by saving their lives from death and sustaining them during times of famine. We wait for the Lord. He is our deliverer and our shield, for our hearts rejoice in him, for we trust in his holy name. May we experience your faithfulness, O Lord, for we wait for you. In this passage, in Psalm 33, we encounter so many truths about God and humanity. Did you hear them as we read them? Let's look at them. The Lord watches from heaven. He sees all people. From the place where he lives, he looks carefully at all the earth's inhabitants. God sees you, me, all the earth's inhabitants. In the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, the first book of the Old Testament, he saw a servant girl named Hagar that didn't ask to have a son by her mistress's husband, Abram, a despicable deal between husband and wife, looking to shortcut God's promises of descendants as numerous as the stars. So God sends an angel to speak to the pregnant mother to encourage her that she can face what she's running from and also to give her hope in descendants from her, too numerous to count. And so Hagar, in this moment, names this God that she is encountering through this angel, and she speaks this name, El Roy, the God who sees me. The same God that sent an angel to the pregnant Hagar sent an angel to a pregnant Mary as well. God sees us in our shame. God sees us in our running. God sees us in our fear and desperation. God sees you. God sees me. So often in life, we lose hope because we feel alone and invisible, unseen. Isn't that really a picture of 2020? Even in covering our faces, that adds to the feeling of not being seen. But God sees us collectively, and more importantly, individually, and God sees you, and God sees me. Now, going back to the Psalms, Psalm 33, verse 16, no king is delivered by his vast army. A warrior is not saved by his great might. A horse disappoints those who trust in it for victory. Despite its strength, it cannot deliver. What does this say about humanity and where we look for deliverance and hope? Well, it says that we look at kings and warriors and horses, that we tend to put our hope in kings, leaders, politicians, pastors. Then we're shocked or devastated when they are toppled, they lose an election, or they stumble or fail. Their armies of soldiers or followers on social media cannot save them from their own sin and God's sovereign plan. We put hope in warriors. Yeah, we still do. People who might not be able to rule or save kingdoms, but can at least vanquish anyone that they personally face. Then, so we watch a Mike Tyson get knocked out by a Buster Douglas, or Ronda Rousey be undefeated and look unstoppable until she loses twice in a row in her UFC matches and promptly retires to take up acting. Acting like the hero we wish she could be all of the time. Maybe your warriors aren't the physical type of warriors like I just mentioned, but they're social media warriors where you watch these influencers fight their fights one TikTok dance at a time. Well, the problem there too is even there, their fame will fade as age and arthritis are undefeated. Indeed, hips don't lie. We even put our hope and trust in stuff, the tools and mounts that we attack life with. But Scripture points to how even a great majestic beast will fall. The most bulletproof limousine will still rust, and unexpected inflation can rust out the most healthy 401k. Indeed, we hope and trust far too often in kings and warriors and horses. Who is a king or leader that has let you down? Maybe it's a politician or a pastor. Who is a warrior that you thought would never lose at life, who is now defeated, disqualified, or ran away? Maybe you had a parent that you assumed was invincible, who surrendered to a microscopic army that overwhelmed their strength. Over 300,000 warriors have been defeated in 2020, with over 3,000 per day now waving the ultimate white flag. What was the one horse, the one thing that you thought would never break down, never give out? Maybe you had faith in our voting system and electoral process, or maybe your hopes lie with a peaceful and gracious transfer of power. When these things fail, and they do, does their prevailing failing reveal your hopelessness or hope? You need to know that the God who sees you sees your hopes before they fail. Sometimes I think he uses and orchestrates these failures not to drive us into hopelessness, but to see how fragile and fallible our kings, warriors, and horses really are. Verse 18, look, the Lord takes notice of his loyal followers, those who wait for him to demonstrate his faithfulness by saving their lives from death and sustaining them during times of famine. We wait for the Lord. He is our deliverer and shield. God sees you. God sees me. He sees us when we effort to hear and follow his voice. And for most of us, following means action. It means motion. It means going somewhere. It means progress. But loyal followers are those who, quote, wait for him to demonstrate his faithfulness. And this is not some sort of wait for him prosperity gospel, waiting on a new season of prosperity or waiting even for things just to go back to normal. No, verse 19 says he demonstrates his faithfulness by saving their lives from death and sustaining them during times of famine. What is humanity's response typically? What is our response in the flesh when faced with death and or famine? Well, we fight, we flee, we freeze, and we fawn. We devise our own plan for survival. And yet the Lord sees his faithful followers wait on his faithfulness, for he is our deliverer and shield. Verse 21, for our hearts rejoice in him, for we trust his holy name. May we experience your faithfulness, O Lord, for we wait for you. Do you hear that? Our hearts rejoice in him, for we trust, hope in his holy name. Just the name of God is enough to hope in. Have you ever considered that? And his son Jesus is the name above all names. Don't believe me? Don't think that you can be encouraged simply by trusting in a name? I know it sounds far-fetched and ludicrous, but did you know that you can experience loving comfort, joy, and purpose in the midst of your pain and trials? Listen to Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, Paul writes, any comfort provided by love, any fellowship in the Spirit, any affection or mercy, complete my joy and be of the same mind by having the same love, being united in spirit and having one purpose. Instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of you should, in humility, be moved to treat one another as more important than yourself. Each of you should be concerned not only about your own interests, but also about the interests of others as well. You should have the same attitude toward another that Christ Jesus had, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave. By the way, footnote, starting as a baby, by looking like other men and by sharing in human nature. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As a result, God exalted him and gave him the name that is what? Above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Back to the end from Philippians, back to the end of the psalm, the section of the psalm that we just read. For our hearts rejoice in him, for we trust in his holy name. May we experience your faithfulness, O Lord, for we wait for you. See, for most of us, for most of the year, 2020 has been a year of gifts that we did not want. The gift of job loss, the gift of uncertainty, the gift of quarantine, the gift of unrest, the gift of illness, and the gift of death. No one wants any of these gifts. No one rejoices when you unwrap uncertainty. No one rejoices certainly when you unwrap death. Yet at Christmas time, we rejoice at our Savior's birth, a birth that was a death sentence for the Son of God because of your sin, because of my sin, because God sees your sin and God sees my sin. As we continue to examine our hearts in light of His Word today, how do you think that we should best wait on the Lord and put our hope and trust in His name? How do you think that happens? So He sees us as loyal followers instead of disloyal rebels and runaways. Well, here are some of my thoughts. First, put on your noise-canceling headphones. Or if you receive new AirPods or Beats headphones under the tree this year, I bet you'd be pretty joyful. But one of the most underappreciated listening devices that God gives you and me is His Word. Use God's Word and your shepherd's voice to not just drown out by sheer volume the world and all of the voices that want you to follow them into hopelessness, but silence and cancel out the voices in the world that demand your hope and your trust. Kings, warriors, and horses. Politicians, celebrities, and possessions. Spend time listening to scripture, sermons, and songs that are Jesus-centered. And footnote, beware and block out scripture interpretations, sermons, and songs that are Jesus-flavored but you-centered. For you to have hope in Jesus, that means abandoning other hopes that are doomed to disappoint. Secondly, encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 through 11 reads, "For God did not destine us for wrath, but for gaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are alert or asleep, we will come to life together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, just as you are in fact doing." The final destination on the road of discouragement is hopelessness. Did you get that? The final destination on the road of discouragement is hopelessness. When you encourage others, you are paving off-ramps, new off-ramps from the road of discouragement that can, by and through God's grace, keep people from reaching hopelessness. But beware, if you build off-ramps to hope in kings, warriors, or horses, in other words, anything but the name of Jesus, you are just slowing down the inevitable. You're giving them the scenic route to hopelessness because that thing will be defeated and it will disappoint. Encouragement to hope on the name of Jesus is a gift that you can give that brings gifts like 2020 into an eternal perspective. As Paul wrote, "God did not destine us for wrath, but for gaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this next one is the final prescription. It's the final prescription for your daily vaccination from hopelessness, and that is open the gift of grace daily. The world has conditioned us, you and I, to earn our gifts. Even the jolly old elf Santa rewards us based on a sliding scale of merit, that scale of naughty or nice. But the reason we should place our hope on the name of Jesus over Santa is hopefully pretty obvious by now. Santa gives us what we deserve. Jesus gives us infinitely more and better than we deserve. That's because of the gift of grace, and that gift is wrapped and ready to be opened every single morning of every single day. Too many of us wake up in the morning, see that wrapped gift of grace, and then we leave it unopened because, well, we've got work to do. We haven't earned it yet. But that's just a day planner of hopelessness right there. We apply the good news of the gospel to our lives daily when we accept the good and undeserved gift of grace. And not just the gift of grace, but the gift of forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ before ever trying to earn God's merit or favor, because, spoiler alert, we can't earn it. If you open the gift of grace to start your day, then when you start to get the bad gifts, the rotten gifts of life that come along throughout your day, I think that you're going to find that you are going to have more hope than you used to. And that will enable you to encourage others going through the same rotten gift. And you'll say to each other, "Do you hear what I hear?" And that sound will be the voice of the Good Shepherd. It'll be the announcement of the good news of the grace and forgiveness that's found in Jesus Christ. And the God who sees, who sent his son Jesus to be your hope in a hopeless world, will be the sound that resonates through your day, your week, your month, and even your year, even a year like 2020. That's good news. That is great news of great joy, worthy of our joy, celebration, and hope in the future. Now, this sermon is dedicated to all of those that can hear my voice or see my face on a screen that have lost a loved one this year from any circumstance, from any sickness, but especially from COVID-19. My heart goes out to Rick and Cindy Moore this week, members of our body. Both of Rick's parents contracted COVID-19, and his father passed away this week. My heart goes out to Carrie Bolton and his two sons, Riley and Tanner, members of our church, that lost their beloved wife and mother, Jeannie Bolton, another member of our church, at age 50. My heart goes out to everyone that has lost a loved one during this season, this joyous Christmas season. It's a gift that none of you wanted. It's a gift that none of you feel like you deserved. And yet, when we trust in the kings and warriors and horses of the world, it's easy to lose hope. But for you, for me, trusting and hoping in the name of Jesus is our only hope. It's the only hope that we can be made whole, that we can come into full fellowship with the God of the universe. And for our family members who also trust in the name of Jesus, that we can be reunited with them once again and see them whole, and not see them suffer, and not see them hurt, and not see them weep. That is how we weep now with hope for the future, and it's all because of the Son of God, Jesus. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the good gifts that you've given us, the blessings that we need to count. But Father, I also thank you. I thank you that in your wisdom, in your sovereign grace, that you allow us to experience bad gifts, especially when we put our hopes in those gifts. Father, help us to take the off-ramp from the road to hopelessness that is discouragement. Father, help us to be encouragers. Father, help us to block out the sounds and the influences of the world. And Father, help us to open that daily gift of grace. The Bible says that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. Thank you. Father, comfort those that need comforting. And Father, for those of us that are able, help us to encourage and weep with those who weep, and mourn with those who mourn. and rejoice with those that rejoice. Father, we love you. We pray you do great things the rest of 2020, and that we can be a part of it, shining our light to our neighbors, our community, to our family and friends, all not for our sake, but for your sake. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope all see you in person for our candlelight service on Christmas Eve at 4:30, right here at Shiloh Plaza. We're going to try and live stream it, so if you can't be here, tune in for that. And thank you for your generous giving this month and your end-of-year giving. It's blessing a lot of folks, and it's humbling to us as elders and staff to be stewards of the monies that you donate to our church to do God's work and proclaim His good news. Have a safe week, stay healthy, and we hope to see you on Thursday, Christmas Eve. God bless.